All right, so I'm standing on the loft bar with Juliet Burton, who has just come off stage after appearing in her own show, When I Grow Up. But one of the things she did, which she didn't really touch on in the show, but she mentioned it, you kind of thought you'd mention more of it. You were a rat farmer?
Yeah, I was a rat farmer. I worked as a rat farmer for one summer.
Why?
Because I was 16 and I needed some extra pocket money, and my now brother-in-law's brother has a rodent farm, because they're all farmers around my way, and he offered to let me work there for a whole summer, and it was awesome because he works with his top off and I got to check him out every single day, and he's quite buff.
Rats and buff. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. that makes much more sense. Now, why don't you just give a description of what the show is?
Okay, well, When I Grow Up is a true life docu-comedy, that's a word, about me trying to be all the things that I wanted to be when I was a child. So for the last year, I've tried to be a ballerina, a baker, a princess, a pop star, an artist, a farmer, and a Muppet. And I've done that to try and explore whether what we do is who we are and whether growing up means letting go of our dreams. And it also touches upon mental health issues in a uplifting manner. I hope it was up. Did you feel uplifted by it?
Well, I'm standing on the loft bar now, and I was in a basement, so I guess I must be higher than I was.
Good.
You've also got a pop song at the end of it.
Yes, one of the things I tried to be was a pop star, and to try and be a pop star, I created a pop song. I wrote the lyrics for it, and one of my friends, who is a composer, wrote all the music for it, and we recorded it, produced it. It was played on BBC Radio Scotland. It's now available to buy on Spotify, Amazon, and iTunes, and all of the money is going to go to the BBC Children in Need from all the sales to the end of the Edinburgh Fringe.
And throughout the show, you have a lot of video. Who was videoing you doing all this crazy stuff?
A whole host of people. I had an amazing filmmaker called Sabine Hellman, who did a lot of it. And I had a couple of friends just holding my iPad for me. My mother, when I went to the Royal Chelsea Flower Show, to try and stalk Prince Harry to try and become a princess.
It all makes sense in the show.
My mother actually was holding an iPad. That was the first time she's ever used an iPad, bless her. She did very well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she missed Prince Harry walking behind her, but sure, no worries.
Well, he didn't turn up. No spoilers, but he didn't turn up.
Yeah, and you really didn't like the garden he did?
It was rubbish. I really think he's much better at being just generally royal. I hope he's better at working. Is he RAF pilot, isn't he? So, yeah, I hope he's better in the RAF than he is at gardening. It was just kind of flat, and it had two gnomes stuck in the middle, genuinely. That's all I could see.
Gnomes.
Good.
I wouldn't have picked him as a gnome person, but okay. And the show's been running for the whole time you've been in Edinburgh. I mean, it's a very personal show, so how does it feel to be doing that every day?
It is interesting, actually. That's a good question. The first few days, the first week, I found it really difficult. I kept... There is a very emotional point, so the darkest before the dawn moment in the show, which in the first week I was struggling to get through each time. And now... Now it's kind of okay. I just feel like as long as I focus on the sincerity of it, then and that I engage with the eye contact with people now. For the first week, I couldn't look at people when I was doing that a bit, but now I want to look at them and see whether they're with me on that part of the journey. And there's usually a few people that I can look at, and they're telling me with their eyes that, you know, no, keep going. So yeah, we're with it. We're in it together in that bit.
And of all the jobs you did, which was the most fun?
Oh, well, this one right now.
Yeah, but it's not in the show.
It's not in the show. In the research for the show, they've all been massive of fun. Like, I mean, the pop star one, performing at Tea in the Park, was pretty awesome. That was nerve-wracking because the crowd was... Yeah, they looked a lot more aggressive than the fringe crowd that you'd normally expect. I guess the princess one was quite tiring. Ballerina was fun, but, probably pop star, maybe.
And any chance of a second single?
If I really ever wanted to give up the dream of the show and trying to make it as a comedy writer and actress, then possibly pop star. But no, I'm not brilliant enough at that.
All right. Now, we like to finish these interviews by asking if there's another show that your audience should go and see when they've seen your show at least two or three or four times. What is it that you'd recommend audiences to see?
Can I say two? Would that be okay?
Go on.
Okay. Doug Siegel, At 6:30 p.m. At the Gilded Boon in the Billiard Room, is an amazing comedy mind reader that the first year that I met him, he's now a friend of mine, but the first year I met him, he did a trick on me, and I swear I saw things that weren't there, and I wasn't having a hallucination again like I did in my psychosis. The other act would be Casual Violence, which is at the Pleasance Courtyard, and they are dark and scary, but also full of pathos sketch comedy that makes me cry.
There you go. That's two ends of a spectrum. Juliet Burton, thank you very much for talking with Fringe Review.
Thank you, Dan.